From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, this is Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Riley Smith. In today's show, Dustin talks Maverick Herbicide with Will Griffin of Valent. I have my weekly South American weather and crop update with Greg McBride of Allendale. And Mark discusses the latest FBN weather report with Mitch Roth of FBN. Now here are your hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, it depends on where you are across the state, how the weather treated you yesterday. For us, it couldn't have been better. And we appreciate you joining us here on your authentic, official, trusted voice of Iowa agriculture, Dustin. Certainly there were some tornadoes, some damage, and we feel for those folks. For a lot of the rest of us, we got 9/10 of an inch of rain. Most of it came exactly how you'd want it to come. Rained in some residual, got some soybeans off to a good start. A little cloudy, a little overcast, some mist here today, but you know, it was kind of a wild day, I guess, from a storm's perspective.
Yeah, that it was. And, you know, the whole threat of the whole, you know, pop-up storms throughout the rest of the day, you know, is what we were seeing. You know, and it got really warm in the afternoon. The sun came out, and boy, did it get humid. I forgot what humidity felt like, you know, as dry as then. But, you know, not that I really missed it by any means, but I know the plants like it. And, you know, getting things going is what we're trying to do. But it's, yeah, it definitely was interesting, made for some interesting weather. And, of course, thankfully, we don't have crops really, you know, poking out and really in any kind of danger yet. Let's get things going right now. Jim McCormick, AgMarket.net, joining Riley Smith here to let us know what's going on in the grains.
On the phone with Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net, taking a look at this opening market session. Jim, first off, what's been going on in the grain markets?
Hey, good morning. It is very, very quiet overnight market. The corn found a little bit of a bid, up a quarter to three quarters of a cent. The beans are down about a half on the front. The back month new crop down around 3 cents. Bean oil continues to feel some more pressure as the bean oil stocks grew on the latest report. And that still shows a little bit of a concern of lack of demand. Essentially, the renewable diesel industry seems to be buying more canola and cooking oil instead of bean oil. So that's a little pulling the bean oil down. That's been a little bit of drag on the beans. And the wheat market's a little bit mixed between the different exchanges.
Now, of course, we saw some Iowa farmers getting into the ground on Monday and trying to get some progress done before the rain. Now, obviously, not a ton gotten so far on that, but the market seemed pretty nonplussed by the rain stopping planting progress. So, you know, yeah, how's that weighing into the markets right now?
Right now, I would argue it's almost a little bit negative. I mean, where I'm at, I'm here in northern Illinois, just a couple of counties over from the lake. Not a lot's moving around here. We've had a lot of rain here the last couple of weeks. We got hit with rain last night. I mean, going into the east guys are definitely waiting a little bit. They're waiting for the ground to dry out. We did have a lot of clients in Iowa, Minnesota. It's kind of an interesting rally. Some of them went for it. The ground was working pretty good, and they pushed hard and get some. We've heard both corn and beans being planted in Iowa before this rain event. But then there was another group of producers said, you know what, I'm going to wait because we've been so dry. This rain's probably going to soak in pretty quick. We've got some really cold temperatures coming in after the fact. And that kind of, you know, halted some planting. But in general, the market, I think, is looking at the date going, hey, it's the middle of April. We really aren't behind. And the fact is that rain came across some of the driest portions of the country, which, let's face it, needed it, plain and simple.
Right. And, you know, we can't, like you just said, we cannot look that gift horse in the mouth when it comes to getting any rain to, you know, kind of quench that drought a little bit. Looking at the forecast, you know, we've got that cooler, wetter weather for looks like a little while now. So, of course, last year it was so dry that we got into the ground pretty quickly. But, you know, I guess at this point it might just have to be a little bit of a test of patience to see if we can get into the ground at, you know, a little bit more of a normal time.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, it's a test of patience. So we have talked to some clients already, said, look, parts of Iowa got maybe an inch, a little bit less than an inch. They said it soaked in. They think they could be in there relatively quick. If you look at the further out forecast, we slowly warm up over the next 10 days. We got some hit and miss rain, but there's nothing out there that suggests we're going into a very wet spring that we had a few years ago where we had flooding issues across the Midwest. And I think if you look at the market right now, the market's just not concerned about planting delays right now. It is going to take something to shake us out of this, Riley. It could it be a weather play? Could it be cold weather down the line, potentially? Could it be more problems in South America? You are hearing some people talk continued issues in South America, but right now the market seems very comfortable with the current price of corn, right around 430, 435. I mean, we've been trading that spot May corn price, 435 now, for what seems like almost 2 months, and I guess you could argue that's fair value until something knocks us off that paradigm, and that's either going to be a change in demand, or a change in supply fears.
Well, we'll hear more from Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net coming up a little later on the program to give us the lowdown on the livestock complex. Right now, Andy Peterson's ready to go with the first round of the three big Iowa Ag Batters.
Number three.
Wrapping up the 96th Iowa FFA Leadership Conference on Iowa State's campus, where Andy Zare says it's an excellent networking opportunity in addition to all of the other events taking place.
Best time of year for us to have a lot of students on campus getting used to what the field of agriculture has to offer, especially in higher ed, getting them into some facilities maybe while they're on campus, getting them competing and meeting other FFA members. So it's a great networking opportunity and a great way to celebrate agriculture.
Now, he says whether FFA members are new to campus or not, there's always plenty of new things for members and advisors to see while in attendance.
Number two.
The lowest level in 10 years, agricultural admissions, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, which released the inventory of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions and sinks 1990 to 2022 report that shows American agriculture reduced emissions by 2%, the largest decrease of any economic sector.
Number one.
It may be next year before a new farm bill gets passed. That's according to Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, who's sort of joining the chorus of predictions on that.
At 23 counties last week, and not at every one of them, but the farm bill came up as often as anything that came up. And so it's kind of like this. When are we going to get a farm bill? Well, you know, maybe 4 months ago, I was very positive about getting a farm bill. If we got it through in March, at least through the committee in March, that didn't happen. It doesn't look to me like it's going to happen.
Now, Grassley does say if House Ag Committee Chair G.T. Thompson can find bipartisan agreement in his panel searching for a way to fund farm safety net improvements, that could break the logjam in the Senate Ag Committee. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, obviously, as the planters get rolling, herbicide and weed control is going to be top of mind next. And we'll talk with the folks at Valent about the Maverick product and what it can do, especially in this not normal start to 2024.
There are some concerns about the lack of frost in the ground here this past winter. Compaction and the lack of relief certainly is one of them. The impact on weed pressure is another. That's the topic of conversation here. As we think about applying pre-emergent herbicides and developing plans, Dustin now with more from our friends at Valent Herbicides.
While the planters are going as fast as they can across Iowa fields, there's a lot of things that we have to take into account as we start this growing season. Weather has been the main catalyst to a lot of these changes, and the dryness in the soil is just the beginning of what the weather has been doing to our soil profiles. Not only have we been dry, but Mother Nature did not give us a normal winter that froze the ground or even stunned the weed seeds that are in the ground. And so they have already gotten a head start as we're getting those planters rolling. Now, we know that there's a bevy of options available to farmers to get ahead of those quick-starting weeds. Will Griffin is with Valent, and he talks to us about why we should have Maverick on our radar.
The whole weather system, or lack of weather, you know, lack of ground cover, lack of snow, you know, we've gone through a year, a winter, where outside of a big snow that y'all had early, really hadn't been much snow. So, you know, we don't have a deep frost, getting a lot of warm weather early, so we're going to see a lot of weeds germinating early. And it's really important to get out in front of that as quick as you can. You know, pre-emerge herbicides do the trick. Obviously, I'm very partial to Maverick, which is our three-way corn herbicide that we released last year. Very new into the market space. We're growing that market share pretty rapidly and really excited about what it offers. It's a low-use product, so we can mix it with basically anything on the market space. It takes up a lot less room on a trailer, a lot less room in a tank, and you get a premium performance. And with the investment that most corn producers make in fall fertilization, those type things, the quicker we can get out in front of the weed germination, the less nutrients those weeds take up, and the more profitable we can be on a corn acre.
Griffin says that Maverick will give you blanket coverage of stubborn broadleaf weeds in the field.
You know, pigweed is probably the biggest one, obviously, we have. You know, it's one of those very broad spectrum. We have it's chlorpyrrolid, mesotrione, and pyroxysulfone. So we have a wide range of AIs in there to basically cover the entire weed spectrum that we get, from pigweed to ragweed in some places. And so, I mean, it's a really, really strong herbicide in the market space. Has a lot of flexibility from an application standpoint, like I said, from a use rate standpoint, provides flexibility to the farmer.
Griffin adds that Maverick also gives options to the applicator as well.
When we think about application, you know, we think about how can we maximize that. So, you know, looking at it from that perspective and the sustainability platform that you can use from not having to have so much product on a truck that you're back and forth all the time to fill a vehicle up. Those little things like that actually save time and save money. And I think those are things that, as producers in a really tight market, anything you can do to reduce cost is going to help you.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Well, you take a look around the state at cash elevator prices. There's some sort of eye-popping basis levels here, as it's a little bit harder to get things hauled when the industry is focused on growing the next crop. Dustin's numbers straight ahead on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
Time to run down some elevator prices, and as we've been seeing the last couple of days, no rhyme or reason to the up or down, just going according to elevator needs. Let's take a look at those prices here on Iowa Ag Matters. Starting at 8 a.m., Burlington, they're 2 cents under on corn, $4.30. Soybeans, 15 cents under at $11.31. Cargill, Eddyville, a dime over on corn, cash bid $4.42. New Co-op, Algona, a nickel over on corn, $4.37. Soybeans, 55 cents under, they're at $10.91. Ag State Sheldon, 25 cents over on corn, cash bid $4.57. Soybeans, 65 cents under at $10.81. Ag State Elta, 9 cents under on corn, cash bid $4.23. Soybeans, 55 cents under at $10.91. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 22 cents over on corn, $4.54. Soybeans, a nickel over, cash bid $11.51. Nexus Co-op in Marble Rock, they're 15 cents over on corn, $4.47. Soybeans, 45 cents under at $11.01. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 18 cents over on corn, their cash bid $4.50. ADM Des Moines, 15 cents under on soybeans, cash bid $11.31. New Co-op Red Oak, a nickel under on corn, $4.27. Soybeans, 50 cents under at $10.96. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, a dime under on corn, cash bid $4.22. Soybeans, 50 cents under at $10.96. New Co-op in Sheraton, 22 cents under on corn, they're at $4.10. Soybeans, 55 cents under, cash bid is at $10.91. Walk On Feed Ranch, 6 cents under on corn, $4.26. Soybeans, 40 cents under at $11.06. New Co-op Glidden, a nickel over on corn, cash bid $4.37. Soybeans, 50 cents under at $10.96. Innovative Ag Services Farley, they're 3 cents over on corn today, cash bid $4.35. Soybeans, 39 cents under, their cash bid $11.07. At Cargill Muscatine, they're 4 cents under on corn, $4.28. Soybeans, 13 cents under at $11.33. Cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's been a check of your elevator prices here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We've got more market information yet to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday grain and livestock numbers. Also, don't forget, you can get free market analysis sent right to your mobile device through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network podcast openings, middays, and closings. You can find those on Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean, and online at iowaagnet.com. We'll be right back on Iowa Ag Matters.
Down to South America we go for our update as to what the competition is up to. The cropping conditions getting a little bit wet. Of course, they need wet. Their soils don't hold moisture, but that can be taken to an extreme as well and cause some damage. Greg McBride from Allendale explaining all of this. Here's Riley.
First off, Greg, what's the latest weather patterns looking like for Brazil and Argentina?
Well, the short-term forecast looks very good for Brazil, mostly in the northern portion, but there are some, the bulk of the country does see some sporadic rains throughout in the 1 to 5 day forecast. Argentina, fairly dry, though. That'll be something to watch as they are harvesting. The 6 to 10 day forecast sees a distinct shift. You do still have that northern portion of Brazil getting heavy rains, but the bulk of the eastern portion and some of the southern portions are on the drier side. But a lot of that rain does then swing into Argentina, and that's where you're going to see some excessive rains coming in. Same thing in the 6 to 10 day forecast. Some of those drier areas in Brazil do kind of hold out, and then there are some concerns about the amount of rain coming into to Argentina. It'll be interesting to see if that swings a little bit further to the east, as it did look a little bit different from the 6 a.m. Forecast versus the noon forecast.
So, we've got those concerns with too much rain in Argentina. What's the timeline for those issues to potentially come to realization in the crop?
Well, at this point, we're not talking about any damage. It's more just delays to harvest for soybeans. So this will be something that we continue to watch. If it does perk up and continue to show us those heavy rains, then we might start to talk about the issues with actual quality of the crop. But for right now, just delays kind of push them back. You get into a situation where it might interrupt maybe wheat planting, or it just could, depending on where it's at, could be an issue with weather as far as cold or anything like that. But for right now, it'll be just something that we have to watch. We know they've got a decent crop. No one's really come in and changed that number. We always have been sitting right around 50 million tons on that crop. So overall, it's just something that we'll have to watch. It's not a bullish story just yet. It's something that could turn maybe slightly friendly for the market at some point.
And then speaking of Argentina, how is the crop progress down there looking right now?
So as we go into end of this week, they finished out last week harvesting 10% of their bean crop. 5-year average does put them at 15%, so they are still running a little bit behind. Last year they were at 10%. Now remember, last year was a drought year, so they're generally it's either going to be extremely slow or extremely fast when it comes to drought years. Well, this so far puts them right in line with where they're at. Where they were at last year, but still behind the 5-year average. On the corn side of things, about 19%, so they're ahead of last year, which was 17%, but they're still just slightly behind the 5-year average of 21%.
And then on the other side in Brazil, how are crop progress conditions looking there right now?
Yeah, moving right along. Still behind on the five-year average. You're sitting at 84% complete. 88 is the five-year average for soybeans. Still just slightly behind on the from where they were at last year at this time as well. The first corn crop, 72% harvested. That's just slightly behind the five-year average of 74, but well ahead of last year. And then as we go right now, there is no second crop harvest for corn just yet. We'll continue to watch that. We know just a couple of weeks ago that they had just finished their planting process.
All right, Greg, lots of great information today. For those of our listeners who would like to get in touch and learn more from the folks at Allendale, how can they do that?
Give us a call at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
Well, Riley, thanks so much for your weekly South American update. Appreciate that. Andy Peterson, ready to go now with round two of the Three Big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Getting closer, a spring outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza in birds, not in dairy herds. First case now confirmed in Minnesota this spring. According to USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, it's in a Meeker County flock. The current outbreak has affected 70,100 birds. Meeker County saw four outbreaks in commercial turkey flocks in 2023. Earlier this spring, the Minnesota Board of Health issued guidance for biosecurity measures to help all poultry owners in the state.
Number two.
Wrapping up the 96th Iowa FFA Leadership Conference on Iowa State's campus, where Andy Zare says it's an excellent networking opportunity in addition to all of the other events taking place.
Best time of year for us to have a lot of students on campus getting used to what the field of agriculture has to offer, especially in higher ed, getting them into some facilities maybe while they're on campus, getting them competing and meeting other FFA members. So it's a great networking opportunity and a great way to celebrate agriculture.
Now, he says whether FFA members are new to campus or not, there's always plenty of new things for members and advisors to see while in attendance.
Number one.
It may be next year before a new farm bill gets passed. That's according to Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, who's sort of joining the chorus of predictions on that.
At 23 counties last week, and not at every one of them, but the farm bill came up as often as anything that came up. And so it's kind of like this. When are we going to get a farm bill? Well, you know, maybe 4 months ago, I was very positive about getting the farm bill. If we got it through in March, at least through the committee in March, that didn't happen. It doesn't look to me like it's going to happen.
Now, Grassley does say if House Ag Committee Chair G.T. Thompson can find bipartisan agreement in his panel searching for a way to fund farm safety net improvements, that could break the logjam in the Senate Ag Committee. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your Three Big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
So here's a scenario for you, Dustin. Imagine you're standing at or sitting at a red light, and an elephant comes walking by on the street.
Well, that's definitely not something you'd see every day. And of course, that also depends. Check local listings and where you're driving.
You would say that, but that actually did happen in Montana last night. The circus was up there. An elephant managed to escape and walked up the street and around the Civic Center. You can see video of it in Butte, actually. People snapping selfies and that sort of thing. Nobody was injured. Said elephant was eventually recaptured, but still, it's unique. There's no doubt about that. More Iowa Ag Matters coming up in just a moment. Sit tight.
Time now for a check at the midday markets here on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Riley Smith. On the phone with Matt Bennett of agmarket.net to take a look at the midday market session. Matt, what have we seen so far today in the grain markets?
You know, corn is off just a shade. Really, really quiet market, anywhere from unchanged to down a penny, penny and a half, whereas soybeans are up a shade, anywhere from up 2 to up 5. So really, really kind of quiet. You know, wheat's down just a little bit as well. So right now, I mean, these markets kind of feel like you need to check them for a pulse. They really, really aren't doing a whole lot. The corn market, I think part of the reason it's off maybe a little bit here this morning is ethanol numbers came in quite a bit under a week ago, but some folks are doing, you know, shutdowns this time of year. Typically, ethanol consumption for corn backs off just a shade here in springtime, you know, especially as people are in the field and whatnot.
That again was Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net taking a look at the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with the livestock.
Daily estimated slaughter total numbers coming in at 124,000 head. That's 1,000 less than a week ago, 4,000 less than a year ago. Boxes are mixed here at midday. 71 loads of choice cuts selling down 286 at 298.02. Select up $1.30, 292.64. That spread narrowing substantially to just 538. Pork-wise, we see daily estimated slaughter total numbers are appearing at 486,000 head, so returning to normal here. That is 13,000 more than a week ago and 6,000 more than a year ago. Cash markets, we wrap up yesterday's numbers for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts, producers sold on a carcass basis. We saw 4,675 negotiated purchases, market sharply higher, up $3.33 to $89.04. Formula purchases, we see 148,000 head of sales. The weighted average price, $90.26, so that market was $1.70 stronger. As far as what's happening as of midday today, 3,800 head of negotiated purchases were up another $2.31 to $88.45. Formula purchases only 106,000 head. Weighted average price of $90.39, so that market is 18 cents higher.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Taking a look now at the midday market prices, May corn down a quarter at 4:30 and three quarters, May soybeans up 2 3/4 at 11:47 and three quarters, May soybean meal up 3 even at 3:38.30, soybean oil down 7 cents at 44.84. Chicago wheat down 8 3/4 at 5:41 even, Kansas City hard red wheat down 8 1/2 at 5:79 even, Minneapolis spring wheat down 1 3/4 at 6:36 1/2, May oats up 3 3/4 at 3:49 and 3 quarters. On the Merck, June live cattle down 92 at 174.80. May feeders down 67 at 240.30. May lean hogs down 57 at 94.15. May pork cutout unchanged at 101.40. And May Class 3 milk down 23 cents at 17.08. That's been a check of the midday markets here on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Riley Smith.
On we go with the market conversation here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy, Dustin, Riley, back now with Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net as they focus in on the livestock trade.
All right, and then looking at the livestock side of things, market's not open for trading yet today, but what are we projecting to see in that livestock trade today?
Well, if you look at the feeder cattle, they had a really good move yesterday. The April feeders got over the 100-day close just below it. Strong rebound. You know, the market was a little bit overbought. It was due for a correction. This bird flu story probably, I believe, gave us too hard of a correction. I'm optimistic that we could and should get somewhat of a rebound here. Remember, Riley, the demand season, one of some of the best demand of the year for beef is coming up as we speak, going into May and June. Overall, the supply of cattle still is very, very tight. Overall, the economy is still going very, very well. Those are all indications, I would argue, that eventually this cattle market would start to rally back up. But if we do get that rally, you know, we're telling producers, just like in livestock and the grains, don't be afraid to lock in some of these profit margins, because you can see how quick one story can change the dynamic. So if you have the opportunity to lock book profits, don't be afraid to do it.
And of course, HPAI kind of looming over the livestock industry in a way that we probably didn't expect a while ago with the infection into cattle herds. Dairy cattle herds. At this point, we haven't seen much new go on there, so have we kind of almost steeled to that news right now?
I think we have for the moment, although I heard reports today that there was a chicken farm, an egg farm, over in Michigan that had essentially had to eradicate a whole flock simply because it has been infected. So it's still out there. It's on the back burner. Hopefully it stays on the back burner, but you got to be prepared. I mean, the wrong headline could send this market, back down again. The fact is the funds liquidate a lot of their positions, but they're still long and they could go short if they feel bearish enough. So there is some downward risk.
All right, Jim, lots of great information today. For those of our listeners who would like to get in touch and learn more from the folks at agmarket.net, how can they do that?
You can reach me directly at 815-665-0461. Reach any of the Ag Market team members at 844-424-6758.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, we've been hearing a lot about La Nina, El Nino, how they're moving around, how they've been affecting this dryness we've been seeing, and maybe even the chances of us recovering from the drought anytime soon. Well, Mark Magnuson had the chance to talk with the folks at FBN about a weather report they've released and some of the things they're seeing. We'll have that coming up for you next here on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Andy Peach and I will be here to wrap up the show for you. You can find all our information online, iowaagnet.com.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at large-scale weather patterns, and we'll do so here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy, Dustin, Riley, and now Mark Magnuson, a fourth member of our outstanding Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network crew, sits in with us to visit with our friends at Farmers Business Network about the change from El Nino to La Nina, very short El Nino growing season, if that, and of course what the La Nina may mean as far as final yields. Mark?
And we're having Mitch on the show here today to talk about a recent report from FBN that is entitled, How Will El Nino Impact U.S. Farmers This Year? And Mitch, that's a very interesting discussion topic. We know El Nino ended 2023 with a strong pattern. Could you tell us about the report, what you learned, and kind of where we're at right now, please?
Yeah, so an interesting part about this 2024 growing season is that we're still seeing some lingering effects of El Nino. It's fading as we enter spring, giving us a small normal season in the early part of the summer here, and then we should be transitioning into a La Nina year. So we can have some opposite effects of what the El Nino brought us, with some cooler, wetter conditions as opposed to the warm, dry conditions you've been experiencing in Iowa.
So is this the normal transition period for this to take place if it were to move from El Nino to La Nina, or is this a different time of year? Is there anything strange about this right now?
So it doesn't necessarily transition this quickly, and I'm not a meteorologist by training. I'll put a caveat on that. But my understanding is there's usually more often a few years in between these different cycles, the La Nina versus the El Nino. So a little bit of a unique year in that we're experiencing that transition a little bit more quickly.
So what would you classify as where we are right now and what it has meant for planting and getting ready to get in the fields, or for farmers that already have, to get those crops planted?
Yeah, so the El Nino weather cycles that we've been experiencing throughout most of the winter has led to a more mild winter across much of the Corn Belt and throughout the Midwest, a lot drier than normal as well. And I know that has excited a lot of folks in trying to get out into the field earlier and push those planting dates even earlier. There can be some concerns with that type of warm, dry conditions, even in the the end of winter, early spring. If there's not enough moisture in your area, you've got to really monitor your planting depth for corn and soybeans to make sure that that seed gets enough water and moisture to actually start the germination process and really get up and out of the ground. The sooner it can get up and out of the ground, the less likely you'll be to experience some of the early season soil-borne diseases.
So Mitch, you mentioned it, but we are very dry here in Iowa right now. In fact, we're one of the drier parts in the entire Corn Belt. When you think back to last year, we got moisture early in the growing season that helped us out kind of for most of the rest of the year. And when you looked at the rest of the Corn Belt, it was the eastern portion that was really dry towards the back half of 2023. Is there any indication through the report and kind of some of the projections being made of where that rainfall might find the Corn Belt this year? Is there any way to prognosticate that?
Yeah, so it's really hard to draw some strict boundaries because, you know, weather changes day to day, you know, week to week, month to month. But the report does show some pretty decent maps of some general trends with some general confidence of, you know, right around the Illinois area, we expect it to be cooler, wetter. As you go further west, it might be cooler yet than average. As you go further west from Illinois, east from Illinois, it might be a little bit more closer to normal temperatures, but anticipating more moisture. But these are broad generalizations. Overall, throughout the Corn Belt and the Midwest, we expect it to be on average a little bit cooler, a little bit wetter, and that can come with some different impacts on our standard crops that we grow every year.
Mitch, thanks so much for helping us to break down all the information in this report and look forward ahead to a great growing season.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, now that we've got a little bit of rain into the soil and helping our get our seeds going, it's time to hopefully get the planters rolling here once again. I know Andy will be looking forward to joining us from the tractor here pretty soon again. But that brings us to the end of another show, and hopefully everybody's having a great day and got a lot of planting done here over the last couple of days. Andy, thanks for joining us. Of course, thanks to Riley for making the sound good. Thanks to Mark, and of course, thanks to you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow on Iowa Ag Matters.